Praise the Lord. Title today, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Let's begin with John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Hitherto, or until now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to understand some wonderful scriptures today, and I have to say at the outset, I can hardly contain myself this morning at the wonder of the scriptures that the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you. Overwhelmed at the mysteries of the gospel. These are the wonders of the gospel. And I pray that our hearts will be opened and that we will build up ourselves on our most holy faith today. And as the Bible says, the anointing is to teach us. We have an anointing that is to teach us beyond our mind, beyond our natural abilities, an anointing of the Lord to teach us the ways of God so they register in our heart and become the very life within us. Again, these scriptures, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus was on the eve of his arrest and crucifixion in John 16. And he said, I'm giving you my name into the future now. When Jesus was on earth among his disciples, they didn't pray to Jesus. They made requests to him, but they didn't pray to him directly. In fact, when they said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray," he said, "In this manner pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread." But now as he was in the light of the finished work of the cross, he gave them his name. He said, "Now you will pray in my name, and you will receive answers, and you will receive the blessing of God, because there is no other name that is higher in heaven or earth or under the earth than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." And Jesus said, "I'm giving you my name. I want you to ask. I want you to ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Then we have Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives." Everyone. There are no special saints that are talked about in this verse. Some elite category. Everyone that asks receives. God is no respecter of persons. Everyone that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So today we're looking at these wonderful scriptures and the reward of the Lord that comes through our prayer life, through our desperation after him. So many beautiful scriptures that are found in the Word of God, and maybe I can remind you of a few of them this morning. "Ask and you shall receive. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you," as we've already looked at. James, the pastor of the First Jerusalem Church, said to his congregation, and it's written for our admonition in James 4 and 2, "You have not because you ask not." You have not because you ask not. Psalm 20 and verse 5, David said, "May the Lord fulfill all your petitions." The Lord fulfill all your petitions. Psalm 34 and verse 5, or 37 and verse 4, I'm sorry. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Soften yourself Make yourself pliable. Be happy in the Lord. Make him your joy and gladness, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 84 and verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. My, these are glorious promises of the Lord. These are the words of God. God is not a man that he should lie. These are the words of the living God. And I pray this morning there would not be any rebuttal or unbelief in our hearts, but that we would cast ourselves off our own understanding and cast ourselves onto the understanding of the Lord and say, Lord, purge my heart. I receive these words. I'm going to live and I'm going to confess and I'm going to stand in the promise of your words. Hallelujah. Solomon, when he came to the throne after those golden years of David, a man after God's own heart, and how David had served the Lord with reckless abandonment in the presence of God, and how the Lord had established the kingdom and the presence and the tabernacle on Zion's hill, the glory of God at its height, the golden age of David, and it went into the years of Solomon until Solomon forsook the Lord and loved strange women and set up idols to other gods. But Solomon said these words at the beginning of his reign, there has not failed one word of all your good promise which you have promised, O Lord, to your people. 1 Kings 8:56, there has not failed one word of all your good promise. We come into the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Yea, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Through us. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, to the glory of God through us. Those promises are working in our lives. So this morning again, let's build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Let's take the word of God and say, anointing, Holy Spirit, teach me these ways of God in my spirit today. I basically have two main statements to make this morning. The first one, you have to be careful what you ask because the Lord is so gracious to give. You have to be careful what you ask because the Lord is so gracious to give. Now let's go to 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house, my family, that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Is this how you treat people? Is this how you treat people, O Lord? Favor far beyond a human standard. Now, what more can David say to you? For you, O Lord God, know your servant. We know who we are. David knew who he was. Just a man. That's who we are this morning. Just a man, just a woman. We know our weakness. We know our infirmity. We know our human struggle. David says, Lord, you know me. And yet you've come with such favor. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? This is how you treat people, Lord. Now let's look at the Message translation. King David went in, paraphrase, took his place before God and prayed, who am I, my master God, and what is my family that you have brought me to this place in life? But that's nothing compared to what's coming, for you've also spoken of my family far into the future. Given me a glimpse into tomorrow, my master God. What can I possibly say in the face of all this? You know me, Master God, just as I am. You've done all this not because of who I am, but because of who you are out of your very heart, but you've let me in on it. You have to be careful what you ask the Lord, because he is so gracious to give, so gracious to give. In 2 Samuel 12, in chapter 11, David had committed that great wickedness with Bathsheba and then the death of her husband Uriah. Nathan came to David after David for 6 months hardened his heart against the word and the presence of the Lord. And David came to him and said, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." If that had been too little, David, if I, in your estimation, hadn't done enough for you, I also would have given you much more beside. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You've killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You've taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. My, the Lord is appealing to David. David, I've done so much for you. I did so much for you. I brought such grace upon your life. And yet in a time of temptation and trial, when kings should have been at war and you were at ease in Zion, you were overcome by the enemy and you took another man's wife and you took another man's life. He said, David, all that I'd done for you, surely that would have been enough to hold you. Surely everything I did to you to that point should have been enough to hold you in holiness and righteousness and in the presence of God. David, if it was a fault of mine, if I hadn't done enough, David, I would have done much more beside. That's the heart of our Lord. David's last words in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1 says, these are the last words of David. Begins to talk about the rulership of God in his life and touch of God upon his family. And then he came down in verse 5 and said, truly is not my house so blessed with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured. For will he not cause to grow and prosper all my salvation and my every wish? Will he not make it grow and prosper? That's the Amplified Bible. And these words are written for our encouragement today. Truly is not my house so blessed with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured. For he will he not cause to grow and prosper all my salvation and my every wish? Will he not make it grow and prosper? My hallelujah. These are the words of the Lord. These are the words of the anointed of the God of Israel, David, the sweet singer of Israel, the worshiper of the Lord. He said, Lord, you will make all my wish to prosper. You will make my salvation to prosper. This is the heart of God for us. Now, David said, will you not fulfill all my salvation? Will you not fulfill and increase all my desire? Will you not fulfill all my wish, all the deep cry of my heart? Because the Lord wants to touch us in the all. He wants us to be full of glory, joy unspeakable and full of glory. The presence of the Lord working in our lives in such a way that we've been stripped of our own ways and our flesh life and our own thinking and our emotions, in the sense that we can honor the Lord and see the clear work of God in our life. David said, this is all my salvation. He said, the Lord, the words you've spoken, the promise you've put over your servant in his word, the promise you've put over my family, this is all my salvation. In other translations, and this is all my desire. Will you not make it increase and grow? How many this morning say, there's nothing I want but what God wants for me? I want to serve the Lord with my whole heart and walk in righteousness and in his truth. Because then you get all. This is all my salvation. This is all my desire. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament said at one point, he said, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus gifts from the church. But he said, I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to be content in all things. He said, Christ strengthens me. He said, I walk the will of God. And he said, I am full. He said, I am full. Now the Lord wants to work in us so that we can say, I am full. I am full of the blessing of the Lord. The Lord is fulfilling all my salvation. He's fulfilling all my desire. He is fulfilling my every wish, the deep cry of my heart after Him for His will, for His purpose in my life and family. I am full, having received of the Lord. There were two men in Genesis 33, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the man of the flesh, worldly minded. Jacob was the man of the spirit, a heart after God. And when they met up after 20 years, after that strife in the family where Esau was going to take his brother's life, but 20 years later, as Jacob came back into the land of Canaan and came to meet his estranged brother Esau, and Jacob was so fearful, and he said, I'm going to give presents to him. I'm going to appease him with gifts. And he sent forth animals and gifts in large number. And when he finally came and talked to Esau, Esau said these words to him. He said, Jacob, I have enough. I have enough. Keep your gifts. I have enough. I have sufficient. And that's in verse 9 of Genesis 33. But you know what verse 11 says about Jacob? Jacob responded to his brother, and he said, I have all. Most of our translations obscure it, but the Greek or the Hebrew word is the word meaning all or everything. All Esau could say is, I have enough. Jacob could say, I have everything. Because I've got the blessing of God and I'm walking in the purpose of the Lord. Hallelujah. I have enough. I have everything. I have sufficient. I have all. My heart goes out to the men and women of this world that stand with financial blessing and favor. They have sufficient and more than enough, but they cannot say, I have all. You can only say, I have all, when you have the power of the living God in your life and you're born again and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit and walking on in the purpose of God. I have enough. I'm with Jacob, the man of the Spirit, this morning. I have all because the blessing of the Lord has filled our lives. Hallelujah. Be careful what you ask, because the Lord is so gracious to give. And number two today, don't dabble in prayer, but pray in praying. Don't dabble in prayer, but pray in praying. We teach three levels of prayer in this house and have in many occasions and situations. Three levels of prayer: head level, heart level, hip level. Head, heart, and hips. And the Bible speaks of all three. There is prayer we can pray. It's factual, it's knowledge-based, and it's right. We lift up prayers and we lift up intercessions with our mind. We do. We pray over needs and situations. But then there's heart level prayer, heartfelt prayer, where the fire of God begins to burn in your bosom, in your breast. And you begin to pray with passion. You begin to pray with emotion. You begin to pray in the fire of the Holy Spirit over requests. But there's another level, and it's hip level. It's birthing level. It's travail. And without travail, there is no birth. There's no birth without travail. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Deep prayers of intercession, the gushings of the Spirit, the deep longings, the deep yearnings, the deep crying out after God, the deep pleading of His promises. That's what hip level is. And we need to know how to pray all three levels. and not dabble in prayer, but earnestly pray in praying. Jesus taught us persistence. He taught us shameless insistence before our Father, that we would come before the Lord with perseverance, with persistence in our prayer, with shameless insistence that he open the door and give us loaves of bread in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 8, I think we have it. I say to you, Jesus said, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. A man that goes to his heavenly Father and says, I need 3 loaves of bread. I need provision for the spirit, soul, and body of man. I need 3 loaves. And the man standing and knocking on heaven's door, and the door doesn't open. Now Jesus said, I say to you, though the Father will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, I mean, friendship opens the door. But Jesus said, let's not talk about friendship right now. There's another great principle involved in prayer before God. Not only our friendship with the Lord, our relationship with him, but our persistence. And Jesus said, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The Lord is teaching us and telling us that the Father loves to see us striving in prayer, laboring earnestly in prayer, that we might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Laboring in prayer, earnest in pleading the promises of God, unwilling to be denied before the Lord. That deep persistence of the people of God in prayer. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, Jacob took his brother by the heel in the womb. Took his brother Esau by the heel in the womb. Already in the womb, the Bible tells us that there is in Jacob a spiritual longing for blessing, for the blessing of the firstborn son, for the blessing of God. And then it says, by his strength he had power with God as he fought and wrestled with the angel. Story we know, I'm sure. By his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him, that is the Lord, the angel of the Lord, Jesus, in an appearance. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke with us. This message is for all of us. Jacob took his brother by the heel in the womb. By Jacob's strength, he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto the Lord. Jacob prayed so earnestly, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. By his strength, he had power with God. It's clear that the strength the Lord is referring to is his spiritual tenacity, his desperation after God. It wasn't his physical strength that gave him power over the angel. It was his tenacity. It was his earnest, prevailing prayer. He had power over the angel, and because of it, he received the blessing of God. The Lord blessed him there. These deep prayers of the Spirit, I believe with all my heart that one of the greatest works of God that have to come forth in the life of a believer. We're saved, we're born again, we belong to the Lord. We must learn his word. But the greatest need in our life is the deep utterance of the Spirit, the deep groaning, the wrestling, the longing after God, that desperation that flows out of our innermost being that changes and transforms our lives and takes us on into the fullness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Deep calls unto deep in the Christ. Jacob, his tenacity, wrestling with the angel, calling on the Lord. I don't know who the preacher was of yesteryear, but I know his spirit. Commenting on Hosea chapter 12, one of my favorite portions, he said, herein is the unconquerable might of the righteous. This his wondrous wrestling. Herein his glorious victories, in glowing longings, assiduous prayers, joyous weeping, girt with the might of holy orison, They strive with God. They wrestle with his judgment and will not be overcome until they obtain from his goodness all they desire and extort, as it were, by force from his hands. God is looking for some people who will wrestle in his presence, who will weep in his presence, make supplication, intercede, cry out from the depth of her being, I will not let you go until you bless me. We walk into the prayer rooms of the house of God, and there should be that deep, desperate cry in our spirit after the Lord, for the blessing of God, for the increase of the Lord, for the maturing of the Lord in our lives. James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, accomplishes much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. The Lord's letting us know that we all face the same human condition and limitation. We all deal with the same human personality and infirmity. But he's saying, he's encouraging us, even Elijah was a man of like passions and emotions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now the Bible says Elijah prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. The Greek is prosukamai prosuke. Prosuke is the general word for prayer. In the Greek language, he doubles up this word. He puts it in there twice. Elijah prayed earnestly. Elijah prosukamai prosuke. And the Greek literally is he prayed in praying. He prayed in praying. Do we pray in our praying? Is there a cry in the cry? Is there a voice in the voice? Is deep calling unto deep in the Christ? Out of our innermost being are to flow rivers of living water, and those rivers of living water clear the banks of all debris that might be in our life, and those rivers of water begin to flow clear, and they go out and water our world and bring forth fruitfulness and life in every department of our being. He prayed earnestly. The effective fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer, effectual is really the spirit-inspired, the spirit-energized prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy, chesed, loving kindness, the faithfulness of God. Break up your fallow ground, the Bible says. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rain righteousness upon you. In verse 11 of Hosea 10, it says, Jacob shall plow, or Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. It's time to seek the Lord. Break up the fallow ground. Judah shall plow. Judah means praise. We are to plow in our praises. We're to pull deep in our praises. Deep utterance, deep desperation, deep crying out after God. Jacob, the man of the Spirit, will break the clods, break the hard places on the surface of his life, get rid of the rocks and impediments to the blessing of God. It says it's time to seek the Lord. Break up the fallow ground. Break up that untilled ground. It's not for us to skim lightly over the soil of our hearts in prayer. It's not for us to skim lightly over the soil of our hearts in worship. When we come to the house of the Lord, we are to pull the plow deep into the soil of our heart with desperation, with intensity, with tenacity after God, pulling that plow down, pulling the plow of intercession through our spirit in such a manner that something of substance, that something of life is birthed in our spirit. And we come forth in increase and harvest and blessing 30, 60, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I want to close with 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2 today. Three things that every Christian should be praying about. Three things that every believer here should be praying about. King James Version says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." The word wish, euchamai, in the Greek, can be translated wish, desire, pray. Translations reflect that. Beloved, I pray, I desire, I wish above all things. Now, I chose King James here because other translations say, "Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." But I like this emphasis. Beloved, I pray above all things, above all things, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Three dimensions: financial blessing, physical health, and spiritual prosperity. Prosper, financial blessing, be in health, physical health, as thy soul prospers, spiritual prosperity. Hallelujah. The first one, that you would prosper. That you would prosper. That financial blessing would be upon the people of the Lord. We know this is the will of God. Unless there's an interruption in the affairs of a land, maybe a time of disturbance or war, persecution, that has other factors relating to it. But the general principle of God is that He wants to bless His people at all times with finances, that they can provide for themselves and for their family and have to give to those who are in need. Jesus said, when you pray, He said, "The Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore, you shall pray, Our Father which art in heaven." Jesus said, that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Jesus said, your Father knows the things you have need of. But the principle of the kingdom is that you ask, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be opened. God says this, Jesus said, this is a principle of the kingdom, and you can't bypass it. Our Father knows, but He wants us to ask. And so we ask for financial blessing, silver and gold and finances and understanding and wisdom. There's a younger man in the house. For the last few months, he's been coming to me in the foyer. He greets me every Sunday and Tuesday. He has some difficult challenges. Not easy for him to get a job. Seems like a few months ago, every time he saw me, "I need job. I need job." Stop and pray with him, "Lord, you see this beautiful brother. Loves you so much. It's not easy for him to get a job. But Lord, you have a job for him and you're going to bless him." Next Sunday he'd come. "I need job. I need job." Pray with him again. Then one day, as I was about the city, I happened upon him coming into a place of business. And he said, "I'm going to apply for a job." And I thought, wow. Next Sunday I saw him. I said, "You went and I saw you at the job. Did you get that job?" He said, "No, I didn't get that job." He said, "I need job." I said, "Let's pray." We prayed. And then about 3 weeks ago, he walked in here on a Sunday morning, his face beaming, his life lit up. He said, "I have job. I have job." The love of God. And the next week he came again. I have job. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a little pile of $20 bills, so overjoyed. And every time I've seen him in the last few weeks, he says, I have job. Say, my, I wish all of God's people were as thankful for their job as this brother is for his. I pray above all things that you prosper financially and be in health. Be in health. Psalm 30 and verse 2, David said, I cried out to the Lord to heal me, and the Lord answered. I cried out to you, Lord, and you healed me. He heals all our diseases. We know the promise of Exodus 15, 26, Yahweh Rophe, the Lord our healer. But listen to these words. The Lord said to his people, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Some fairly astonishing words. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, for I'm the Lord that heals you. There's an admission by the Lord in that verse that back of all sickness in this world is sinfulness. There was no sickness in this world until sin came into this world. And the Lord is the one who wants to heal us. Now, sinfulness, not always directly. At times, yes, we can suffer sickness because of sin in our life, as the Bible clearly lays out, Old Testament and New Testament. But often it's not a direct sin that brings sickness in our lives, but nonetheless, indirectly, because this sinfulness is embedded and entrenched in this fallen world. And what the Lord is saying, that if we can draw closer to Him, if we draw closer to Him, and if we become more fervent in His Word, and hearken in obedience to Him, and seek Him with all our heart, we can have a far greater expectancy of divine healing and divine health. He's calling us to separate unto Him. Now, there are times where we are under a test or trial of faith, and that's a different matter. Sometimes we're under a refining process of the Lord in our lives. And in those situations, when we're facing sickness and we're facing satanic attack in the area of our physical body, the Bible tells us we must endure, we must persevere. We must plead the promises of God, and we must purge and refine our lives. And like Job, even say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Trials of faith. Jesus, it says in Matthew 9, went about all the cities and villages, teaching the word of God, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And then he opens the next chapter, Matthew 10, and it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Beloved, I pray above all things that you might prosper financially and that you might have healing and divine health in your life. And number three, he said, that your soul would prosper. Your soul would prosper. Psalm 35, 27 says, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity. The Lord rejoices in the spiritual prosperity and vibrant life of the kingdom that lives in you. Ask the Lord to give you a vibrant Christian life. I am come that they might have life, born again experience, and that they might have it more abundantly, that born again experience would flow into joy unspeakable and full of glory, where they can say, I am full of the blessing of the Lord. Not one word has failed of all God's good promise in my life. Everything has come to pass. Hallelujah. Psalm 34 in verse 5, they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto him and were radiant. Ask the Lord for a vibrant spiritual life. Ask the Lord to transform you until you're filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8 says, is the life that God has for his people. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let's stand together today. Hallelujah. Let's take these holy words into our hearts, into our families, into our lives. Let's live in the power of these words of God, words that cannot fail, words that are the words of God, words of truth to every one of us. And the Lord calls us in. The Lord calls us in. This manner of seeking Him, this manner of dedication, surrender to Him. As we close out this morning, I want to open the altars. Those of you who want to come and spend a few moments in the presence of God, I believe there are people here this morning that need utterance. The stone has to come off the mouth of the well. The stone has to come off the mouth of the well. Fountains of the deep need to be broken up. You begin to pray with overflowing joy. Pray with earnest supplication. The language of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, gushings of the Spirit. Cry of the Spirit coming forth from your heart. Because God says, that's the answer. That's the answer that'll take you on into your future with God in a full and wonderful way. How many this morning, if that's you, slip out from where you are. Say, man, I feel so clogged up. I feel so unable to pour out of my spirit before the Lord. I'm going to the front this morning. I'm asking God for a breakthrough. I want rivers of living water to flow out of my innermost being. I want that praise to plow deep in me. I want intercessions to flow out of my heart. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is calling you. Step out. Come to the front, lift up your hands, open your mouth, begin to praise the Lord, begin to plow, begin to seek the Lord with all your heart, and let Him renovate your life this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. He found Jacob in Bethel. He wept, he made supplication, he cried out for the blessing of God, and the blessing of the Lord came upon his life. So this morning, let's take a few moments. This congregation, wherever we are, and those at the front, ask God to give you utterance. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to pray through you. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to long after you. Holy Spirit, teach me how to be earnest in your presence. Holy Spirit, teach me how to plead the promises of God. An insistence on my spirit. A desperation on my heart before you, Lord, for my life and for my family. For everything that I'm about in this life, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man.